All right, so last week I sat through a three-hour Zoom call with 17 strangers learning what a stopping distance is. The crime that earned me this cruel and unusual punishment, and you need to hear this carefully, 27 miles per hour on a long, empty, well-lit road in the middle of the day with no pedestrians, no cyclists, and no schools anywhere near. I am pretty sure the cat can go faster than that. Now, this road used to be a 30-mile-per-hour road, and it changed without me really noticing because the only sign they put up was this tiny little repeater roundel on a lamppost about 200 yards in behind a tree, half hidden. There's no gateway signs where I entered the road from, and there's no flashing warning. There's nothing that says, hey, Andy, maybe you might want to check that this has changed. And I don't drive in the city that often, so... screw me. And of course, I saw the speed camera, I knew the speed camera is there, and then I drove past it anyway because I assumed it was 30, like every other time I've driven past that speed camera for the last 20 years. So, 100 quid later, and I had to sit for a course that's so patronising, I'm sure it's against the Geneva Convention. 3 hours of my life, I am never going to get back. And the whole way through it, while a very patient man called Steve was explaining the difference between speeding and exceeding the speed limit, I just kept thinking about who actually benefits from all of this. You know, who's paid for the course? Where did my 100 quid go? And who decided that this particular road needed to be 20 in the first place? Well, it turns out the answer is somewhat more interesting than the question. Anyway, hi, I'm Andy, and this is The Fine Print, and today we're talking about the 20-mile-per-hour racket, who designed it, who profits from it, and which of the politicians lecturing you about vulnerable road users has a longer driving record than your nan's casserole rotor. And this is exactly the sort of video they don't want you to see, so will you subscribe? So, 17th of September 2023, Wales becomes the second country in the world after Spain to set a default urban speed limit of 20 miles per hour. 13,000 kilometres of road dropped overnight from 30. The Welsh government's published bill for this was £32.5 million. The House of Commons Library, who tend to be a little bit more thorough, put the running total at 34.4. Wales has roughly 3 million people, which works out to about a tenner each. You personally paid a tenner for this nonsense. And that is before a single sign was changed back, before a single fine had been issued. The whole petition against it reached 479,571 signatures. It was the largest in the history of the Welsh Senedd. It was started by an ordinary bloke called Mark Baker, who could not quite believe what was happening to his country. Yeah, mate, I am with you, Steve. And remember Steve, because he is the only person in this story who comes out of it well. Anyway, the Welsh government's own modelling. I want to stress that this is their maths, not the opposition's, not anyone with common sense. No, this is what they said. And they said the policy would cost the economy £6.4 billion over 30 years. Even after the safety benefits were added back in, the net figure was a loss of £4.5 billion. They put a price on Welsh families being a few minutes late to the footy, and the price was nearly 5 billion quid. Now, the road safety data does look a bit better. About 1,000 fewer casualties on 20 and 30 mile per hour roads in the first 2 years. That is real. The fine print isn't here to argue with the maths. But the maths is the easy bit. The interesting question, the one nobody at the Welsh government wanted us to ask, is who designed this thing? Because once you start looking at that, the safety stats become the least of the problem. So let me start with the woman in charge. Her name is Baroness Eland Morgan. She's been First Minister of Wales since August 2024, taking over from Vaughan Gething, who took over from Mark Drakeford, who started this whole thing. Three First Ministers in 18 months. Welsh Labour are nothing if ambitious with the ministerial musical chairs. Eland Morgan is, by any reasonable standard, the woman now responsible for cleaning up the 20-mile-per-hour mess. The reversals, the reviews, the U-turns, getting Wales speed limits back to something resembling sanity. She has also been banned from driving. In March 2022, at Mold Magistrates Court, the woman who would go on to lead Wales was disqualified for 6 months, fined £800 and an £80 surcharge, £90 in costs. The trigger offence was speeding on the A525 in Wrexham in a 30. And this wasn't her first one. No. The 2022 ban was a tossing up. She had three previous convictions, 2019, 2020 and 2021. Four offences in 3 years. The Senef Standards Commissioner, a man called Douglas Bain, looked at the record and wrote, quote, that her conduct set a very poor example to others. She was formally censured by the Senef in June 2022. 2 years later, they made her First Minister. Good one, guys. So I'm going to just go over that bit again because I'm not sure I have conveyed it quite properly. The First Minister of Wales, the country with the strictest urban speed limit in the United Kingdom, is a politician with four speeding convictions and a six-month driving ban. The trigger offence was on the A525 in Wrexham. The ban came down in 2022, 18 months before she had to take charge of the rollback of a policy specifically designed to stop people doing exactly what she had just done. My dad's 71. He has never had a speeding ticket in his life. He's not allowed to be First Minister of Wales. Then again, he never tried. And look, I know what you're thinking. She got banned, she paid the fine, she did her time. Who am I to throw stones? Except this isn't really about her. This is about everyone around her. Because while the Welsh Health Minister was getting points on her licence in Wrexham, her cabinet colleagues were quietly building up something that, even by the standards of this story, is genuinely impressive. This bit comes from a Freedom of Information request surfaced by Nation.Cameroo. So this isn't speculation. This is government data. Between October 2023 and April 2024, that's the 6 months immediately after the 20-mile-per-hour rolled out, Welsh Labour ministers were chauffeured on 799 official journeys, covering approximately 50,000 miles, in a fleet of 13 government vehicles. Five of those vehicles were diesel, five were petrol hybrid, three were electric. So roughly 77% of the fleet, the cars driving, the government that was telling everyone else in Wales to slow down for the planet, was running on fossil fuels. Yeah, a bit awkward that, isn't it? 50,000 miles in 6 months. In a country, you can drive end to end in about 6 hours. That's roughly 70 miles per minister per week. While they were telling the rest of us to leave the car at home and try to active travel, whatever that means. Now, to be fair to Mark Drakeford, the architect of the rollout, he did manage one symbolic gesture. In January 2023, he very publicly accepted a loaner e-bike from the cycling charity Sustrans. There were photographs. There was a press release. It was, by all accounts, lovely. It was a three-week trial. After that, he went back to the ministerial car. The e-bike presumably went on to its next photo shoot. And here's a small detail worth pausing on. Lee Waters, the deputy minister who's actually pushed the 20-mile-per-hour legislation through the Senate, used to be the director of Sustrans Cymru. So when the First Minister borrowed an e-bike for a photo op, it was via the charity formerly run by the bloke writing the laws that's now fining you for doing 24 miles per hour past Tesco's. Anyway, moving on. None of this, the chauffeurs, the e-bikes, the redesigning of an entire country's road network, none of it actually happened by accident. It happens because someone, somewhere, pitches the idea to a minister. And in Wales, that someone has a name. Anyway, quick word before we go any further. If you're tired of switching off the fine print and then being immediately served free adverts from the same kind of corporations that we're exposing, you might want to have a quick look at MeTV. It's an ad-free streaming platform that I'm an affiliate for, so if you like it, you're also helping me out. It's a 14-day free trial, so you can try it for free, and then it's $4.99 a month after that if you want to carry on. The pitch is simple. You've just sat through a load of evidence that the British state and its corporate friends are extracting money from you, whether you're driving or not. Last thing you want when you sit down to watch a film is another four ad breaks reminding you of that. Link is in the description, and my affiliate link's down there as well. If you want to sign up, this channel gets a few quid. Everyone wins. His name is Phil Jones. He is the chairman and founder of a transport consultancy called PJA, Phil Jones Associates, based in Birmingham. 130 staff, 6 UK offices, 6 UK offices, and 2 in Australia. He is, by all accounts, well-respected in the trade. In 2019, the Welsh government appointed Phil Jones to chair their 20-mile-per-hour task force. He led the group of experts that produced the report recommending Wales go to a 20-mile-per-hour default. He even put out a press release at the time celebrating that, and I want to quote this one, Wales will join Spain as only the second nation in the world to set 20 miles per hour as the default speed limit. He chaired the steering group that implemented it. He stayed on through the rollout in September 2023, and then in 2024, when the petition hit 469,000 signatures, when the public was howling, when the policy was clearly in trouble, the Welsh government announced a review. Well, guess who they hired to lead that review? Phil Jones, of course. The man who designed the policy was now being paid to evaluate the policy that he had designed. Same individual, same consultancy, same office in Birmingham. 2 separate Senate petitions were filed demanding his removal, accusing the government of, in the petition's own words, marking its own homework. The Welsh Conservative shadow transport spokesperson Natasha Ashker used the same phrase on the floor of the Senate. Plaid Cymru said the review would be seen as a judge and jury. The Welsh government defended its appointment, said he was a highly regarded transport planner and engineer, which, I mean, I guess technically he is. But there's more. A Welsh government FOI release showed 3 consultancies had been paid to advise on the legislation. Phil Jones Associates, Arup, and Buchanan Computing. Their combined fee was £125,273. Now, while Phil Jones was advising the Welsh government, he was also a non-executive director of Active Travel England, which is a UK Department for Transport agency. He'd co-authored the DfT's Local Transport Note 1 of 20, the design guide for cycle infrastructure. He'd helped write Manual for Streets 2. He sat on design panels for National Highways and HS2. How does this happen? How is one bloke the architect, the implementer, the reviewer, a paid consultant on the legislation, and a non-executive director of a DfT agency that has a direct interest in all of this going national at the same damn time? And the answer, depressingly, is that nobody in Welsh politics seems to think any of this is unusual. It's just how it works. How we've always done it. The same 50 people in the same green polo shirts at the same Cardiff conference designing each other's careers in private. While you and I get fined £100 for doing 27 down an empty road on a Tuesday afternoon. To be very clear, nothing Phil Jones has done is technically illegal. Nobody is alleging corruption. The criticism is structural, and it was made on the floor of the Senate by elective members of 3 different parties. But Phil Jones isn't where the actual money goes. The proper money, the eye-watering £100 million a year money, goes somewhere else entirely. The people who get paid every single time you exceed 20 miles an hour. Anyway, back to my whole speed awareness course suffering. That £100, 3 hours, 17 strangers on a Zoom call learning what stopping distances are, multiplied by, and this is where you start to see the scale of this, millions of attendees per year. So that body is run by the National Speed Awareness Course called UK Row Ed Limited, private company. UK Road Offender Education is the trading subsidiary of a charity called the Road Safety Trust, which is in turn governed by a board where one of the trustees has to be the National Police Chief's council lead on road policing. Sorry, there was not an easier way for me to say all right that. So in effect, the police run a private company that runs a charity, presumably for a tax break, that gets the money you pay when the police catch you speeding. Your 100 quid for an empty road on Tuesday funds road safety research selected by the same organisation that decided to fine you for it in the first place. It's a closed loop, and it is a very lucrative one. UK Road's filed accounts for 2023 direct from Companies House show income of £88,262,000, up from £76 million the year before. £88 million. For comparison, the entire UK Treasury take for speeding fines is estimated at roughly £100 million a year. So the courses, your 100 quid, my 100 quid, multiplied across millions of attendees, generate nearly as much money as the entire fines economy. And the chief executive of UK Road, her name is Ruth Purdy, former assistant chief constable. Before joining UK Road, she was the general secretary of TISPOL, the European Roads Policing Network based in Brussels. I'm sorry, I don't make up the names of these things. That's just what they are. So the career path goes: police officer who issues speeding tickets, to international policing lobbyist arguing for tougher enforcement, to chief executive of the company that runs the courses delivered to the people fined for the speeding. You couldn't write it, genuinely. If I pitched this as a script, my agent would tell me to make it less obvious. And the cameras don't make themselves either. They're built by a German firm called Genoptik AG, listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange, which bought up a UK company called Visionics in 2014. Man, I'm getting through these names. Please drop me a like, just for putting up with all of this word soup. Appreciate it, guys. The CEO of that British company, a man named Kevin Chevis, went on to head Genoptik AG's Global Smart Mobility Division. Jesus Christ. Okay, are you still with me? So, the signs in Swansea, all 120 vehicle-activated signs flashing green and red at you, are made by Swarco, an Australian multinational. And they're manufactured in their plant in Melsonby, North Yorkshire. The picture the route your money is taking. So you get fined in Swansea by a German camera. The fine goes to Westminster. The course you're sent on is run by a former Brussels lobbyist. The sign that warned you was made in Yorkshire by an Austrian family business. Crap, I think I said Australian earlier by mistake. Forgive me for that, guys. And everyone in this chain gets a slice. Except for you, the Welsh taxpayer, who paid for the signs in the first place. Almost as if, and I know this sounds mad, almost as if the people designing the system aren't quite putting your safety at the top of the list. And then there is Lord Goldsmith, who is somehow even bloody worse. Frank Zacharias Robin Goldsmith, Lord Goldsmith of Richmond Park, Conservative peer, former Environment Minister, former MP, old Estonian, approximate net worth, don't worry about it, mate. Anyway, in March 2024, at Westminster Magistrates Court, in front of a judge with the genuinely excellent name of District Judge Daniel Sternberg, Lord Goldsmith was banned from driving for 12 months, fined £5,500, £2,000 surcharge, 700 quid in costs. His crime? 11 speeding offences in 2 years. 11! Two of them, and come on, really, were in 20-mile-per-hour zones in central London. 2 miles an hour over what I just got fined for in central London, as Lord of the Realm. This is, by the way, the same Lord Goldsmith who was the Conservative candidate for Mayor of London in 2016, running against Sadiq Khan. Imagine if he'd won. The Mayor of London would have been the man speeding through 20-mile-per-hour zones in his hybrid VW Golf 11 times in 2 years. He'd been banned before, in 2014 as well. Different offences, but same pattern. So I keep thinking about my speed awareness course. There's 17 of us. Steve from Bristol with the patient voice and the PowerPoint slides. 100 quid each. Lord Goldsmith didn't have to do a speed awareness course. I mean, he was a little bit beyond that, to be fair. He was on his 11th offence. He just went straight to court. And I sometimes wonder if, while Judge Sternberg was banning him, there was a small part of Goldsmith thinking, 100 quid, 3 hours, why didn't I just do the bloody course like everyone else? Right, so where does that leave us? As of today, this. The Welsh Government has formally accepted that, in their own words, mistakes were made. Lee Waiters, the Deputy Minister, who pushed the policy through, used that exact phrase in March 2024. The reversal is happening. Wrexham Council estimate their cost at £368,000. Swansea, £470,000. Wales Online surveyed all 22 councils and reckons the final reversal bill could exceed £10 million, on top of the original 32. So the total Welsh taxpayer cost to install, then partially uninstall, a policy that was effectively designed by one consultant, championed by ministers driven around in diesel cars, and immediately rejected by 469,571 Welsh voters, is heading towards £45 million. You paid 15 quid individually for that, if you live in Wales, to put up signs, then take them down again, while Eland Morgan watched from the back of a chauffeured Volvo that you also paid for. Because, you know, they didn't want to be driving at 20 miles per hour, so they just got themselves driven around. Here's a detail I think gets the point across. Gwynedd County Council has required by law to publish official notices about the 20 mile per hour changes in the regional newspaper. The cost of those notices in a single newspaper with a circulation of 6,843 readers, and this is directly from the FOI, was £94,759.21. £13.84 per reader, reimbursed in full by the Welsh Government, which is to say, by you and me. And the election we're voting in today? Well, I actually wrote this before the election, and the election's happened, so this bit doesn't really matter now. But that was a wild election, wasn't it? Anyway, every major opposition party promised to revert it back. I don't know what the result of the election will be when you watch this. Anyway, here's the thing I keep coming back to since the Zoom call with Steve. The 20-mile-per-hour rollout in Wales was designed by a small group of very well-connected, well-meaning people who all just happened to know each other, who all just happened to be paid by each other to advise each other on policies that benefited the corporate partners of each other's charities, while being driven by chauffeurs paid for by you and me, from one meeting to the next. I mean, to call it a conspiracy makes it sound organised, and it's just not. That is just how the country runs now. Eland Morgan had 4 speeding tickets and they made her first minister. Phil Jones designed the policy and was hired to review it. The cameras come from Germany, the signs from an Austrian factory in Yorkshire, the course fees go to former Brussels lobbyist, and every penny of the fine goes to the Treasury in London. None of it stops in Wales. Meanwhile, Mark Baker, an ordinary bloke in Wales, sat at his kitchen table and got nearly 500,000 of his neighbours to sign a petition saying, "Guys, just please stop. Have some common sense for once."